të kupturit e tekstit të dëgjuar. Ky është testi i të kupturit të tekstit të dëgjuar nga gjuha e huaj. Përbëhet nga dy detyra. Çdo incizim do të dëgjoni dy herë. Do të keni kohë të mjaftueshme që t'i lexoni pyetjet para se ta dëgjoni tekstin dhe t'i kontrolloni përgjigjet tuaja. Derisa të dëgjoni, mund t'i shkruani përgjigjet tuaja në libresën e testit. Pas dëgjimit, do të keni kohë të mjaftueshme që t'i kontrolloni përgjigjet tuaja. Detyra e parë. Lexoni pyetjet.
I was in Barcelona and I was on my own, and in those days you didn't have mobile phones or credit cards or things, and I went to pick some money up at the post restaurant, and I'd been going back up to the hotel and the bus was crowded, and when I got off the bus my bag, which had been over my shoulder, was open, and when I looked inside my purse had gone. And it was one of those moments where I remember putting my bag down on the pavement, closing it and opening it up again and thinking,
Maybe it'll be there.
And of course it wasn't. And it had my passport and it had all my money. It had my ticket home. Anyway, it was a real challenge. But I've always been one of those people that when there's a problem or an obstacle, I like it. So I had this challenge of finding a policeman who could speak a bit of English. They got me to the embassy, explained what had happened and all this. And when I eventually got home, my dad made the decision for me, and he said, look, it's impossible. You know, he was running his own business. My mum was at home with my two brothers. There was nobody to go with me, and you can't really do that on your own at that age. It was very, very tough.
Has that stayed with you? You're very sort of self-reliant.
I don't think, you know, you never forget what it was like, you know, what a struggle it was, trying to make ends meet and trying to make things happen. And, you know, for me now, I will still travel economy in a plane, and I'll always take the tube rather than a taxi if I have time, even if I'm carrying a bag. And I never let anybody carry my bag. You know, you'd be pulling your pull-along suitcase, you know, one of those things like you've been fired from The Apprentice. And people will say, can I help you with that? And I always say no, because it's like I do things myself. But yeah, we try and stay as grounded as possible.
Dëgjoni përsëri.
I was in Barcelona and I was on my own, and in those days you didn't have mobile phones or credit cards or things, and I went to pick some money up at the post restaurant, and I'd been going back up to the hotel, and the bus was crowded, and when I got off the bus my bag, which had been over my shoulder, was open, and when I looked inside my purse had gone. And it was one of those moments where I remember putting my bag down on the pavement, closing it and opening it up again and thinking,
Maybe it'll be there.
And of course it wasn't. And it had my passport and it had all my money. It had my ticket home. Anyway, it was a real challenge. But I've always been one of those people that when there's a problem or an obstacle, I like it. So I had this challenge of finding a policeman who could speak a bit of English. They got me to the embassy, explained what had happened and all this. And when I eventually got home, my dad made the decision for me, and he said, look, it's impossible. You know, he was running his own business. My mum was at home with my two brothers. There was nobody to go with me, and you can't really do that on your own at that age. It was very, very tough.
Has that stayed with you? You're very sort of self-reliant.
I don't think, you know, you never forget what it was like, you know, what a struggle it was, trying to make ends meet and trying to make things happen. And, you know, for me now, I will still travel economy in a plane, and I'll always take the tube rather than a taxi if I have time, even if I'm carrying a bag. And I never let anybody carry my bag. You know, you'd be pulling your pull-along suitcase, you know, one of those things like you've been fired from The Apprentice. And people will say, can I help you with that? And I always say no, because it's like I do things myself. But yeah, we try and stay as grounded as possible.
I lutem që ti kontrolloni përgjigjet tuaja. Ky është fundi detyrës së parë. Detyra e dytë. Lexoni pyetjet.
Marie Curie, or Maria Skłodowska, was born in Poland on November 7, 1867. Her parents, both teachers, encouraged her academically, and she shone at school. Dr. Patricia Farah is a specialist on the history of women in science.
Throughout her life, she retained her links with Poland, so although we tend to think of her as a French scientist, I think in her heart she never lost that original Polish identity.
But Russian-occupied Poland didn't offer the opportunities she sought for a career in science. And in 1891, Marie Curie moved to Paris to study physics and mathematics at the Sorbonne University. She later wrote about that time.
I divided my time between courses, experimental work, and study in the library. It was like a new world opened to me, the world of science, which I was at last permitted to know in all liberty.
It was while Marie Curie was carrying out research into magnetism that she met Pierre Curie, a tutor at the School of Physics and Chemistry.
She walked into the room and she was very struck because there was a young man standing over by the window with a very dreamy, abstracted look on his face. I'm sure this is embroidered with the romanticism of retrospection, but that was the moment that they said that they fell in love with each other.
The Curies married in 1895. Both shared a deep commitment to science, and they worked together, investigating a recently discovered phenomenon, which Marie called radioactivity. In 1898, they announced the discovery of a new element, polonium, named in honour of Poland, and then another, radium.
She was a very ambitious woman. She knew how to act strategically, how to publish her work, how to get in touch with the right sort of people. Whereas Pierre never even finished his doctorate. He was much more interested in just getting the results and then getting on with the next experiment.
Was there a sense that the two of them were working at the cutting edge of science at that time?
I think initially there wasn't, but within a few years Marie Curie had made radioactivity absolutely central to scientific research and one of the most exciting phenomena to be discovered.
Dëgjoni përsëri.
Marie Curie, or Maria Skłodowska, was born in Poland on November 7, 1867. Her parents, both teachers, encouraged her academically, and she shone at school. Dr. Patricia Farah is a specialist on the history of women in science.
Throughout her life, she retained her links with Poland, so although we tend to think of her as a French scientist, I think in her heart she never lost that original Polish identity.
But Russian-occupied Poland didn't offer the opportunities she sought for a career in science. And in 1891, Marie Curie moved to Paris to study physics and mathematics at the Sorbonne University. She later wrote about that time.
I divided my time between courses, experimental work, and study in the library. It was like a new world opened to me, the world of science, which I was at last permitted to know in all liberty.
It was while Marie Curie was carrying out research into magnetism that she met Pierre Curie, a tutor at the School of Physics and Chemistry.
She walked into the room and she was very struck because there was a young man standing over by the window with a very dreamy, abstracted look on his face. I'm sure this is embroidered with the romanticism of retrospection, but that was the moment that they said that they fell in love with each other.
The Curies married in 1895. Both shared a deep commitment to science, and they worked together, investigating a recently discovered phenomenon, which Marie called radioactivity. In 1898, they announced the discovery of a new element, polonium, named in honour of Poland, and then another, radium.
She was a very ambitious woman. She knew how to act strategically, how to publish her work, how to get in touch with the right sort of people. Whereas Pierre never even finished his doctorate. He was much more interested in just getting the results and then getting on with the next experiment.
Was there a sense that the two of them were working at the cutting edge of science at that time?
I think initially there wasn't, but within a few years Marie Curie had made radioactivity absolutely central to scientific research and one of the most exciting phenomena to be discovered.
Ju lutem që ti kontrolloni përgjigjet tuaja. Ky është fundi i detyrës së dytë. Ju lutem kaloni përgjigjet tuaja në fletën e përgjigjeve. Ky është fundi i testit të kuptuarit e tekstit të dëgjuar.